Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Heaven, free. And he said, well, that's neat, but I wonder why. In Oklahoma, it was a dollar a minute. In Texas, it's free. He knocked on the church door and asked the preacher there. He said, how come you got on your marquee, hotline to heaven, free? He said, oh, well, that's easy to explain. He said, in Oklahoma, it's long distance. In Texas, it's local. There you go. It's a local call. You like that one?
On behalf of us Okies.
What? Oh, she was offended. She has an Okie over here.
You do know what a Texan is.
What?
That's just an Oklahoman on their way to Mexico.
Oklahoma on their way to Mexico.
And vice versa, Mexico. Yeah.
All right. Well, so, hey, something different today. This is not a lesson like a sermon. It's a Bible study where you participate. So what I've got is a scripture, and then the next slide is a question. And the question is not like right or wrong. I'm not going to say wrong. No. I'm just going to say, well, that's an interesting take. You know, but not to make, I don't want you to feel bad. It's not a right or wrong answer. I just want to know how it hit you or what popped into your head. So let's try it out. Okay, so the first scripture up there. There you go. Where? What? Y'all are at the wrong angle. Well, I'll read it.
Can you make it full screen?
Oh yeah. Can we get that a larger scale? It was bigger earlier. Maybe go back in there and redo it or something. Our presenter's view, whatever. Hey, there. Yay! Okay. All right, so this comes from Acts 29 and 31. Grant your servants to continue to speak your word, underlined, with all boldness. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. All right, so here's the question. Why did the place where the disciples were meeting shake, and what initiated the shaking? Now, you can go back to that scripture so they can see it. Okay, so why did it shake, and what initiated the shaking? That's just a kind of a thought. It's not a right or wrong thing. What? They were praying. All right. Have you ever thought about when you prayed, no matter how quietly or silently, something is shaking in the spiritual realm? It's a different way to look at it. So there's not such thing as a puny prayer when you base your prayer on the Word of God. It's going to shake some things up in the spiritual realm. Okay? So you said prayer initiated. Who else got it? What else got in on that shaking? What was another factor? The Holy Spirit. Okay, I've got one more factor for you. The word, they were speaking the word of God, and that will shake things up and change things up, not only in the spiritual realm, but in this physical realm as well. That's where the spiritual meets the physical. Okay, so, hey, y'all are doing good. Y'all like it? Yes, there's the another factor, boldness. They weren't wimpy about it. With conviction. Yeah, they mean it. Okay, let's look at John 17. This is Jesus talking. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. All right, let's see what question we've got here now. How did those early disciples keep his word? How did they keep his word? Said they did. How'd they do it? All right, so they studied. So they knew the Word. They were familiar with the Word. Mm-hmm. All right. What else might have they have done?
They met together.
Kind of stirred each other up.
Mm-hmm. They told them what to do, and they went out and did it.
Okay, so they did it. Yeah. They took His words and went out and performed them. And they performed them by doing something that we all do every day with your lips. Not eating. No. Speaking. They went out and spoke the word that Jesus spoke. And he expected them to. Did you know Jesus never told his disciples? He said, now you've seen me doing some miracles. You've seen me raising the dead. You've seen me casting out demons. But look, let me warn you. I can do that, but you can't. So don't try to do what I did. Did he ever do that? No, wasn't it just the opposite? Yeah, just the opposite. No, no, you've seen me. Now you go out and do it. I'm sending you out two by twos. You heal the sick. You cast out the demons. You raise the dead. You heal the sick. Okay, so good. So that's how they kept the word. I wonder how we keep the word. Is it different now? Is it different? Do we keep it differently? Do we just read the word or do we keep the word? 2,000 years later, what's different?
Nothing.
Brian says nothing. There you go.
I can do all the things through Christ's strength.
There you go. Well, 2,000 years ago, that was a long time. Things are different now. Huh? No? Yeah? The word is still the same. Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and 2,000 years later. Yeah, and forever. All right, good. Man, we're nailing it today. We have got it going. All right, Luke 8:12. Is that the next one? The ones, it's talking about the word seeds. Remember the seeds that fell along the path and some, in the, here and there. Along the path are those who have heard, and they mean, what he means there is the word, so I put that in. Those who have heard the word, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so they may not believe and be saved. That's shocking, isn't it? That's horrible. You would never let him do that to you. I dare say there's been times when the devil has stolen something out of my heart. Yeah. So now that we know that, we're not going to let him do that anymore. Okay, so what keeps the seed from being stolen from our hearts? We just said we weren't going to let that happen. How do we keep that from happening? What? All right. Hide his word in your... Value his word in your heart? How else you might do? What? Stand on it? Yeah, that's a good one. Meditate on it?
Pray and keep him close to the Lord.
All right. Stay close to the Lord. How about this? Repeat it. Yeah. You don't have to be creative. You know, sometimes people say, you know I should be praying, but I just don't know what to pray. I've got a real good suggestion for you. Open up the Bible, maybe in the Psalms, somewhere in the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 1. It's a real good prayer right there. Just model your prayer after the ones that are already there. Yeah, Lord, I'm praying that the eyes of my heart would be enlightened and opened. Yeah. And I might understand, Lord, the inheritance, what I have in Christ. Open my eyes. Pour it into me that I might know it and then act on it. See? I didn't have to get creative. And I wasn't even begging God for anything. Oh, God, let me tell you about all my problems. Yeah. See, somebody said, don't tell all your problems to God. Said, no. Don't tell your problems to... Bring your... What?
How big your problems are.
Tell your problems how big your God is. That's the point I was getting at. Thank you, Paula.
You've said it before. It's real good.
Yeah, I know. I just went blank. Because sometimes you get those old things mixed up backwards and things.
He's real good, though, with all things like that. And they stick in
your... I remember one time in a sermon I was preaching over at Rockwood years ago. I said, the devil roams around like a roaring lion. Yeah, man, the church never—they never stopped laughing. I couldn't even finish the sermon. Okay, so then here's this: does the devil have the power to take something from us? What if you let him? Look there, if you let him. How about if you're not on guard?
Resist the devil and you're free from him.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, how do you keep somebody from breaking into your house and stealing things from you? There. Somebody wants to, don't they? Yeah, they would sure like to. How do you keep them from doing it? Lock your door. Be on guard. be listening for noises. Yeah. One time Becky heard a noise and one, what? Barking dog. Yeah, they say that's one of the best deterrents right there. One time Becky, in the middle of the night, she heard something. She heard something in the house and she said, "Go check it out." She said, "I think it's coming from the foyer, like maybe that closet in there." And I said, "Becky, why would somebody break into the house and then hide in the closet?" She goes, "I don't know, but I think that's it." So I start to go in there. She goes, "Wait a minute. No, grab a golf club. You know, you get a weapon." I said, "Becky, I feel so ridiculous." So she made me go into the foyer and open that closet. It was just some coats hanging in there. One in a million chance, right? Oh, anyway. Okay, I'm getting on. Okay, so does the devil have the power to take something from us? Yes, if you let him. Okay, if you neglect it. How about if you don't even know it's there? Next thing you know, it's missing and you didn't even know it was missing. He stole it from you. All right, let's look at the next scripture. John 15. "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides," stay connected, "to the vine, neither can you unless you abide," stay connected. You like my little inserts there? Stay connected. "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For," y'all say this part with me, "for apart from me, you can do nothing." All right. Okay. Maybe another way of saying that, apart from me, you can do nothing that glorifies God. You can't do any of the works of God. You're not going to do it on your own. You'll be doing it through me because you're in Christ and God is doing it through you. All right, so what's the key word to being productive in your life? This is an easy one. Stay connected. All right. Abide. So y'all know what abide means, don't you? What? Stick close. There you go. It doesn't just mean you're over there and I'm over here. Abiding means I'm right there with you. "Hey, Jesus, where are you going?" "Hey, I'm going with you. I'm sticking close to you." Kind of like Elisha stuck close to Elijah. Yeah. He said, "I want to get a double portion of your spirit. I'm not letting you out of my sight." So don't let Jesus out of your sight. So who is the vine and who are the branches?
Jesus is the
These are too easy, I know. What? All right, we're the branches. And those branches, are they connected with duct tape? Or how are they connected, these branches? Huh? Yeah, okay. They're there. I mean, they are connected. You can't. They don't just fall off. No, maybe they can walk off. I've never seen a branch do that, but or wanted to. No. That's the only way you can bear fruit, because the fruit comes really from the vine. The vine just likes to hang the fruit on the branches. And that's us.
You've got to be nourished by the vine.
There you go. You get your nourishment from the vine. And without the vine, what can the branch do?
Nothing.
Apart from me, you can do nothing. You can produce nothing. All right, I like that. All right, let's look at the next scripture. Oh, this... It sounds like the same scripture. It's just the one that goes on a little bit further. So he said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask," repeat my words, "whatever words you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and prove to be my disciples." Okay, so here's the question. What does Jesus offer as proof that we're his disciples? Now go back to that scripture there, Kenny. What does Jesus offer as proof that you are his disciples? Okay. Yep, you're bearing fruit. So you're not just an admirer. You're not just a church attender. You're a follower of Christ. So whatever Jesus said to do, you go, "That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give it my best shot because I'm abiding. I'm hanging out with Jesus." What was that little song that said, "If Jesus goes with me, I'll go"? Remember that one? Okay. So are our words also effective and powerful? You're probably thinking, that's so obvious, but go ahead and say it. Your words are powerful. Why? Because it's His words in your mouth, and that's His plan. That's His plan. He said it, you repeat it, and it has power because what? Heaven's backing you up. You're basing your actions and your words, even your thoughts, on what God said. You may not think your words are going to come to pass, but if Jesus were standing here and said the same thing, if He said something, and then you stepped over here and said, I'm going to say the same thing He said, won't the same thing happen? Because you're just repeating what Jesus said. And you know that's the will of God. You know it's the will of God. How'd you know that? Because Jesus already said it. Jesus authorized you to say the same things and get the same results. Okay, next slide is another question. So what is the effect of repeating the words of Jesus over circumstances in our life? What can you expect to happen? We kind of said it already. All right, we expect things to move in the physical realm and the spiritual realm. Because you're bringing what exists in the spiritual realm into a physical reality. That was Becky calling me. I'll call her back in a minute. What did she think was happening at this time?
Maybe she's calling you to remind you to pray for Portman.
Yeah, maybe so. We'll find out here in a few minutes. So would our prayers be more effective if we began with, Lord, you have said. Yeah. Because that means God is saying, I'm committed to this. I'm on record as saying this. And it's okay for you to repeat it because that will bring that promise into your life. But just because it's in the Bible, that doesn't mean it's going to happen. Yeah, it's there, but it's not working for most people. It's working for believers, people who believe it. And when you believe something, you talk about it. Yeah. Okay, let's go to the next one. We did that one. Oh, I kind of went back the wrong way. All right. Now we're on Matthew 4, 3 and 4. If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. By the way, who's speaking there? All right. Now Becky's texting me. Did y'all hear the whoosh? That's okay, I saw it. And I've already done it. Yeah, there you go. All right, so. Okay, Matthew 3 and 4. Okay. But He answered, who's He? Jesus, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. So here's a challenge question for you. I just thought of this last night. Here's your challenge question. Imagine if we could say nothing but a Bible verse or promise of God for an entire day or a week. What might the result be of that? I want you to just picture it. You can't say anything. You can't say, oh, sure is hot today. That's not a Bible verse. That's not a promise. We talk a lot during the day, but it's not based on the Word of God or the promise. It's just talk, idle words. But what if we couldn't say any of that beyond howdy? We just speak the Word of God. There you go. So you, there's plenty you can say. You might think, well, we couldn't say anything. Yeah, just like she said, this is the day the Lord has made. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You just keep on going. Just whatever God has already authorized you to say. And things would be happening. Tremendous things would be happening in your life and your realm of influence. Okay. Did y'all like that challenge question? Something to think about. Matthew 8:8 says, the centurion replied, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. Here's your question. So have you ever wondered how a spoken word can be so powerful as to go across town and heal somebody? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, it's one thing to say, Jesus, come and touch my servant, and he'll be healed. Because you can say, okay, somehow he imparted something when he touched him. But look at the power of Jesus' word. He said, okay, I'll just speak the word. Sure enough, spoke the word, got back home. The servant's going, man, I feel great. It's just like electricity hit me or whatever it was. But suddenly, I'm okay.
He's omnipresent.
Yeah. But just the point is, it's a word activated. Did we? Okay, she's in. It's word activated. So think about the power of your words. You know, you can speak a word and hurt somebody's feelings. Did that happen? How did that word do that? Huh? How did that word do that? I mean, you know why? It went inside you. It got down inside of you. And you got offended or you got your feelings hurt. What if you just said, you know what? I'm letting everything bounce off of me like that. I'm not going to let any of that get in there. I'm just going to let it bounce off of me. I'm rubber and you're glue. How's that go, Brian? Whatever. Bounces off me, sticks on you. That's what you tell the devil. Yeah. I'm rubber. Okay, so. I already went back. All right, so we did the challenge question. And we did the centurion. So I do wonder about that, how a word can actually heal somebody. It shows you the creative power of the word. How did the universe come about, according to Genesis? What? Okay. The word. The word did it. So a word that is invisible can have an effect in the visible world. It blows my mind. So think about the power of your words. You probably know the negative power of them. But we need to start finding out the positive power of your words. So after a while, we'll pray for Courtney, who's across town. Well, what can a prayer do if she's across town? We're not touching her. Just like Jesus' word? Yeah, sending it across town. All right, question. There have been abuses of the faith teachings of Jesus. How can we avoid the trap of the name it and claim it Christians? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yep, I just decided I need a Cadillac, so I'm just gonna say it, and it's gonna happen. I expect to go home, find one parked in my driveway. What? Well, you know what? There's sort of a built-in correction there in the Word of God. Nothing in the Bible says you can say you have a Cadillac and you'll get it. No. But there are general promises. But you not only need to say them and then just expect it to magically happen. You continue to speak the Word of God. Somebody help this guy right here. Hey, Jason, why don't you check? So you continue to do it. It's like you say it once. Now, I guess God didn't want to do it. No, remember Daniel? Yeah. He prayed for 21 days. So you keep praying till the answer gets there. And you might say, well, maybe God didn't want to do it. Well, did you pray His Word? If you pray His Word, God wants to do it. So what you got to do is hang in there and don't let the devil take it out of your mouth. Steal the Word right out of your mouth. Has He ever done that to you? He's done it to me. Yeah, I've given up on a lot of prayers I shouldn't have given up on. So, you know, said, well, nothing happened. I guess God didn't want to. Why did you say God didn't want to do it? Doesn't the Scripture say all the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus? Okay, well then just repeat that to God. All right, here we go. We did the challenge question. This, my thing here keeps moving around. Okay. Oh yeah, just here are a couple of scriptures. Well, I was talking about praying the Word of God. Psalm 119 says, I entreat your favor with all my heart. There you go. Get up in the morning. Lord, I entreat your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. So, has God promised to be gracious? Yeah. How do you get it into your life? I just saw it and I believed it. So, I spoke it and that grace comes flooding into my life. And my life is different today. Another one, Proverbs 3, 3 and 4. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you, so you will find favor and goodness and good success in the sight of God and man. Lord, today this is what I'm going to do. I've just spoken this word. I will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. You can do that. You can do that all day long with the promises of God. Let's see how we're doing. Okay. It's time for me to wrap this up. So, how about a prayer? I still have this. But time got away from us. I can make that another whole sermon, though, out there. So don't worry. It'll be said sometime. So here we go. Let's do. Y'all want to say the prayer together? Yeah, we want to say the prayer together because we know that's the end. Yeah, you're getting it. This plane is coming in for a landing. Remember we were talking about that today? Yes. We're not circling. Coming in for a landing. Here we go. Lord, I have believed in my heart and confessed with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. Now also be the Lord of my words, that I may keep the same word in my mouth as was in Jesus' mouth. May my prayers be the kind that Jesus approves and of and demonstrates the advantage of abiding in the vine. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Get it? Got it? That means we can stop now. If you got it, now if you don't have it, we can just start over.